Okay, so good evening, everybody. I wasn't exactly sure how to give this class, and I said I'd figure let's see who comes, and then we'll know how to do it. The goal of this series is for people who are committed to mitzvah observance, and they want to know exactly how to do mitzvahs properly. I get a lot of emails from people who aren't sure what they're supposed to do, and once they already want to take on a certain mitzvah, so they want to do the mitzvah in the best way possible. So what I'm trying to do is to pick different topics every week and give as in a concise fashion as possible all the relevant laws. So I already found that this is going to be hard to do a whole topic in one night. So we'll see what happens in another hour. As I was preparing the notes, it just was going on and on and on, and maybe what you see is about half of what having a fantastic Friday night is all about. So we'll start, and then we'll see by the end of the evening if this is the way people want to go, or they can give me feedback, and maybe you want to be a little different, etc., etc. So tonight's topic, we said, is fantastic Friday nights, which means how does one go about having a halachically excellent Friday night evening of Shabbos. Okay? So that's the game plan. That's the game plan. So the class is not geared in a philosophical way, because the assumption is that people already want to do it, and it's a question of how do you do it. Although we will sprinkle in a little bit of philosophy here and there and some nice ideas to not allow it to become just a dry halacha class. There's sheets over here for those of you. So let's begin with a few premises, just a couple minutes of premises. As following. Couple weeks ago we started the book of Bereshis, and the Medrash tells us something very interesting. We know there are 7 days of the week, and the Medrash says that each day of the week had a partner. The first day of the week had a partner being the fourth day of the week. The second day of the week had the fifth day of the week. The third day of the week had the sixth day of the week. Those are the partners. And the problem was, Shabbos had no partner. So Hashem said, don't worry, I will make sure you have a partner. Your partner will be the Jewish people. And so it is, the Jewish people are the only people in the world who really keep the Shabbos, and we are partners. I mean by partners, the expression of the Midrash is a zug, a match. So the Jewish people and Shabbos are a match made in heaven, so to speak. And therefore, the first idea that we have is Friday night and Shabbos being a tremendous special day, a day that Hashem blessed. It is the reenactment of the marriage between the Jewish people and the Shabbos. That's really what Shabbos is all about. And obviously on a deeper level, the marriage between us and Hashem on a deeper level. And we know Shabbos, one of the names of the Shabbos, we greet the Shabbos Kala. Kala is a bride. And in that perspective, the Shabbos is the bride and we're the chassan, we're the groom. And we know the Hebrew word Kala is spelled Chaf Lamed He. Chaf Lamed He is Kala. If you switch around the letters, it also spells the word Hakol. Hey Chaf Lamed, which means everything. And therefore, what do we know about a Kala and a wedding? And certainly people who have made weddings can appreciate this idea, is that when you have a wedding, everything has to be perfect. Has to be perfect. And every detail is dealt with, and nothing is left unsaid and not taken care of, because the groom generally wants to please the kala. And that's the same thing as we're preparing for Shabbos, which is the kala, that we want to have everything prepared in the best way, just like a wedding, just like a wedding. And we know in every Jewish marriage, there are three parts to marriage. The first part is called the erusin, the engagement. Second part is the nesuin, the actual marriage. And the third part is the yichud room, the private room that the chasan kala go to. As you go through the Shabbos, different elements of that come into being, with Friday night being the engagement, where the woman is betrothed to the man, and she is no longer allowed to be with anyone else but this man, although they're not yet living as husband and wife, but the process has been, is kicked into gear, so to speak. And therefore, the whole Shabbos, if we look at the Shabbos as a wedding process, where we reunite with God once a week, and as well the rabbis say that the Shabbos is a taste of the world to come, where there is no problems and no worries, and Shabbos is there to have us appreciate what that world to come existence is going to be. Shabbos is a day where Hashem showers the world with tremendous spiritual energies that lift us up and feel that closeness to Hashem, and that is a gift of Shabbos. But although it's a gift, we have to be able to open up our hands to receive the gift. And the way we open up our hands is through all the rituals that the rabbis tell us to make. So if we really focus on Shabbos being the key day of the week, and Shabbos is the whole reason why we're alive, and the whole reason we have 6 days of the week is that each day is supposed to prepare us for Shabbos, and Shabbos is the goal, and nothing can be more important than Shabbos, then you will appreciate all the efforts that are made to make Shabbos the day it's supposed to be. And this is where it totally deviates from the secular concept of the weekend and the day off. It's a totally different process. The weekend is really just running away from work because I don't want to work, and I want to have my own fun by myself with no restrictions, no obligations, no commitments, no anything. Shabbos is a whole week long I've been trying to work for Hashem, but there's been so many things getting in the way to me becoming closer to Hashem. And on Shabbos, I don't have those restrictions that keep me away from Hashem, and now I'm able to focus totally on Hashem and on nothing else. So if we keep that in mind, that the Shabbos is just like in our lives, after we finish our lifetime existence, we'll then gain entranceway, depending on how much efforts we made to come close to Hashem. To that degree, we will be entering the world of souls and ultimately the world to come. We'll have the ultimate pleasure of being close to Hashem. So every 7 days, we go through this process of doing things that will enable us on Shabbos to enjoy that closeness to Hashem. So if we have that mindset that Shabbos is the goal and Shabbos is the most important day of the week and everything's leading up to Shabbos, then there's no such thing as doing too much for Shabbos. And there's no such thing as a bride saying to the groom, nah, don't bother with that, it's not so important, right? And if the groom certainly wants to do what he can to please the bride, and we're the groom, if we have that focus, then we'll appreciate all the activities that are necessary. Okay, that's just a general introduction. If you have questions, please ask. So, the first thing we're going to talk about is, okay, if you want to have a good Friday night, a good Shabbos, the most critical thing is it will only be as good as the Erev Shabbos is. And if the Erev Shabbos isn't good, the Shabbos isn't going to be good. Again, the wedding will only be as good as the preparations were before the wedding. If you don't bother to call a caterer, or if you get very cheap, a cheap band, a guy who plays on a washboard, okay, and if you're, going to, not use any flowers and all the things that have to be done, you just don't care so much. You cut corners in it, you'll probably have a terrible wedding. And if you're going to have a great Shabbos, it will only be as good as all the effort you put into it before Shabbos, and especially on Friday. So again, figure in your mind, you're a groom or a bride, doesn't matter, either way. Okay, your wedding is, let's say, 7 o'clock at night. So what are you doing the whole day? You going to work? Are you dealing with stock options? Are you, looking for furniture when your wedding day is tonight? No, the entire focus is the wedding. Okay, that's the entire focus of the day. So therefore, the first key, and this is where the whole, we talked about this last year in our series on Shabbos, but we're going to just come to the basic details of this today, is if we don't spend the Erev Shabbos in the way the rabbis guided us, that it will be impossible to really appreciate the Shabbos. So, for example, you're going to go, let's say a husband and wife both work, and they don't get into the house on a Friday, let's say now in the winter, where Shabbos is going to start at 4:45. They come into the door at 4:30, and on the way they rushed and stopped off at Sobeys and bought a couple chickens and a pre-made cholent and this and that, and they're just harried from the traffic and all that. They just barely make it into the door. They're exhausted from a strenuous 5-day week, work week, and they just come in, pop the food into the oven, and make a quick kiddush and a quick bite to eat, and boom. I mean, you get almost nothing out of that Shabbos. So the key to the enjoyment of the Shabbos is going to be in direct proportion to the preparations that are made for the Shabbos. That's the first point, and it's can't stress it enough. And in North America, it's much harder to appreciate it as opposed to being in Israel. Because when you're in Israel, you could feel it. You could feel that Shabbos is in the air in Israel. In North America, it's very hard to feel it when you're working in a downtown office. Friday afternoon. You're not feeling it. You're feeling everything but the Shabbos. And then you're going through a rush hour traffic. And maybe, yeah, you're noticing the clock because you want to make it before sunset. So there's all kinds of stress building up. So then when you finally make it and you're coming in and you make it a couple of minutes, husband makes a couple of minutes before Shabbos, it's all stress out. You know, it does not make for an optimal Shabbos experience. And what will generally happen to either one of the spouses is that one of them will fall asleep in their head falling into the soup somewhere during the meal, and they don't have any strength to sing any zmiros, and there's nothing there to put in for the Shabbos. So we're going to focus a lot today on preparations and the first steps. We'll see as far as we go till 9:45, and there'll probably have to be, I'm telling you in advance, probably a part two and maybe a part three to what's going on, to do it properly. So let's see where it goes. So let's start, look inside. And we'll just go point by point, and we'll discuss, and you can ask questions. And we'll start with the overall idea of preparing for Shabbos. So the first point is that it's a mitzvah to make as many preparations for Shabbos as possible by yourself. First thing is, you should be doing the preparations, even if you could go to a store that's got great takeout food, and all you have to do is write a check and buy the takeout food. Even though you have housekeepers or nannies who clean the house, and basically you can hire someone to clean the whole house for Shabbos, you can, let's say you even have a cook, you turn on the stove, and the person can cook the whole Shabbos for you and clean the whole Shabbos for you, or you go to Sobeys and buy the whole Shabbos, and all you do is walk into Shabbos, that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. And you're wondering why, right? And a lot of people figure, you know, this work is undignified for me to do. I mean, why should I, make the beds? Why should I wash the floor? Why should I cook the food? Someone as special as me shouldn't have to do this. I've got enough money to afford workers to do it for me. So the answer is that your dignity isn't based on you not doing work that appears to be lowly work, but your dignity is measured by the exertion you apply in preparing for Shabbos. Imagine, for example, you're welcoming a king into your house. And that's exactly what's happening. The queen is mamish coming into your house. So you're going to do the preparations yourself in honor of that illustrious guest, right? Even a very distinguished person doesn't normally, you know, go shopping in the marketplace or do housework, is, according to halacha, required to do chores for Shabbos. And one should consider it an honor to do those chores for Shabbos. The Gemara tells us countless stories, which we'll tell you in a minute, about great rabbis of the Talmud. These great rabbis of the Talmud were incredible scholars. And they spend a whole week learning Torah. And they know the deepest mystical parts of Torah. But still comes Erev Shabbos. They made preparations for themselves even though they had servants. And especially every minute of their day was precious. They wouldn't waste a minute. These aren't the kind of people who would go watch a hockey game or just chill out. Every minute was important to them. They wouldn't waste a minute. and they didn't feel it beneath their dignity to make preparations for the Shabbos. I'll give you a couple examples. Talmud tells about Rabbi Abbo. Rabbi Abbo was very wealthy, and on Erev Shabbos he would sit on an ivory stool, fanning the fire in the oven where the meals for the Shabbos were going to be cooked. That's a hot oven and fanning the flames. He could have had some Joe do that work for him. He says, this is the way I'm going to honor the Shabbos. They tell us Rava would salt fish in honor of the Shabbos. There was a particular Shibuta fish that only would jump out of the water right but a half hour before Shabbos. It was a great fish, but you only could catch it a half hour before Shabbos. So you couldn't cook that fish for Shabbos. But if you salted it, that could be prepared in a way to eat it. So he would salt the fish before Shabbos. Rav Papa would braid the wicks for the oil lamps. Rav Chista would slice beets for the Shabbos meal. Rav and Rav Yossi would chop wood in honor of the Shabbos. These are all low-class jobs. But you got to realize whom you're doing it for. If you're doing it for the Almighty, there's no such thing as a low-class job. So that's the first rule, that we all have to figure what work can I do to show how much I love the Shabbos, how much I'm preparing for that Shabbos. And the more you invest in a project, the more you feel good about that project. More than that, parents have to see to it on Friday that each child has to do a household chore for the Shabbos. Because the more they'll be involved in the preparations, the more Kedusha they're going to feel in Shabbos as well. Okay. And you should be very eager to make these preparations, and you should go around with excitement. Again, like the king is coming, the queen is coming. Can you imagine the honor I'm getting? The queen is coming to my place. Now, of course, you don't do all the work yourself. Of course, you know, if the queen was coming, mamish, to visit your home this Friday night, so you would tell the servants, okay, get the house in order, tidy up and sweep, prepare the beds for the honors guests, and I'll go myself to Sobeys and buy the best meat and the best fish I can get. And I'll personally stand in the kitchen to make sure the food is made just right. Right? We're not saying you have to do everything. We're not saying you can't get people to help out. The rabbis and Talmud do every, from A to Z themselves. But they did a significant chore that showed that the Shabbos was very special for them. So that's critical. And also, when you're buying things for Shabbos or you're preparing something for Shabbos, you should say to yourself out loud, I'm buying this or I'm doing this, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, in the honor of Shabbos. It's keeping you all focused for this day that's coming. And what's probably most critical is that a person should prepare himself a few minutes before Shabbos, to mentally prepare yourself for the Shabbos. A lot of times we're so busy preparing, we don't even remember what we're preparing for. We have a whole checklist of things to do, and there's pressure of getting things to do, and like, but what are you doing it for? Well, for Shabbos. But that's not enough. You gotta be mindful that you're about to host the King of all Kings. The King of all Kings, and you're doing it in honor of Hashem. So you've got to have that proper mental attitude to make the coming of Shabbos something of excitement. And certainly you can all relate to this. If somebody's special, a good friend you haven't seen in years, who's come to visit you for a weekend, right? You get excited about it and you go out of your way to make sure everything is right and proper. And that's part of showing how much you love that person. When they come and see everything's done for you, it's your way of saying, look how much I love you. Look how much care I took care of everything. So if we start on Friday by showing Hashem how important this occasion is, and I put myself out for this occasion because it's an important occasion that I love and I care about, that the external actions that we do will impact your internal feelings about the day that's coming. Okay, yeah.
The thing is, if you're doing all your preparations on Friday and you're so exhausted when Shabbos comes that you can't enjoy it, whereas if you did some preparations Thursday...
Okay. Good question. So let's keep reading. Let's keep reading, and we'll see where we're going to make some allocations for that. That's a good point. You may start to wonder, how did people in old days do this without all the technical advancements that they had? Well, probably the answer is they probably didn't prepare as much food as we did, and they probably had a lot more kids in the house to help. a good healthy Jewish home had, you know, anywhere between 10 and 15 kids. So you can imagine a lady with three or four daughters, five daughters, you know, and the son, and everybody was, not just the daughters, the sons, the father, everybody, the husband. If everybody's working and working to make Shabbos happen, you could do it in one day. The problem is, it's all left to you. So you're overwhelmed by that. I'm sure if Shelly didn't go to work, and he was there with you in the kitchen preparing, and your two kids didn't have to go to school, and they were preparing, then you could start Friday, and you could get it done by noon. Right? So that's part of the thing. So now, yeah?
The second item here, getting the kids involved doing, quote, a household chore prior to, you just said it a moment ago, they're going to be at school too, they'll get home at 1 o'clock or thereabouts, usually for preparation for Shabbos, and I'd love to say the desire is there from them, and it's more of...
There's still what they can do. There's still what they can do. I mean, most Jewish schools let kids out a couple hours before Shabbos. And so what do they have to do? They have to shower for Shabbos. But then they have time, and you tell them, prepare the candles, set the table. A job that takes 20 minutes. 20 minutes? We're not telling them they have to work 4 hours. We have to, everything obviously has to be figured according to the times we live in now and how we can fit into that. All right? But most Jewish schools, it depends on... We're on the line of school. Some Jewish schools will let you go off at 12:30, others at 2 o'clock, others at 3 o'clock. Obviously, the more religious schools are letting kids off earlier because they understand how much preparation should be involved in Shabbos. So, but whatever time, some of that time, no matter how little time there is, and more than that, Zev, it can start Thursday night. Is to do what they can to prepare. Every kid in the house has to have a job to do. And even a 5-year-old can do something. You tell the 5-year-old to clean up his toys. He played with his toys and the den's a mess. Your job to make sure the queen is coming. The living room has to be nice. You have to, den has to be nice. You clean up your toys. Because of and tell them it's because of the Shabbos. The Shabbos queen is coming. Right? And if they see you're excited about it, then they're going to get it. And they see you're hustling and bustling, right? So every child has something that they can do to make it ready. Okay, so let's get to some details of this preparation, beginning with preparing the Shabbos food. Number one, we should honor the Shabbos in the best possible manner with the most delectable food and drink. Because again, the rabbi tells Shabbos is the source of all blessing for the week. The more we invest in the Shabbos, the more it will bring blessing into the week. And therefore, if I buy the best foods for Shabbos, and not during the best foods during the week, but on Shabbos, that means I show how important Shabbos is. Again, a wedding, theoretically, they provide you with the best food, but I would debate that. I think most Jewish women's Shabbos meals are much better than wedding meals that you get, most, right? But you prepare a fancy meal, so you're showing Hashem, look how important Shabbos is. And that's what the second point says, the way we prepare the special food, special Shabbos dishes, from shopping to baking to tasting, is a clear indication of how much we honor the Shabbos. Now, women, you're not the only one, two women, okay. And you can tell your wives, others to you. Women should make challah in honor of Shabbos. Again, everything is depending on pragmatics and practicalities, but they should make challah in honor of the Shabbos, and they should do the mitzvah of separating challah, that specialness of separating challah. And it's generally, this is one of the women's mitzvahs. There's a couple of reasons for this custom of making challah for Shabbos. Number one, we know in the Beis HaMikdash, every Friday there were 12 showbreads that were put into the oven, that were baked and put onto the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash. Every Friday, an old batch went out and a new batch went in. So the Kohanim baked challahs in honor of the Shabbos, number one. Number two, that dough is considered complete only after a challah portion has been separated. Now the world, we know, was created for the sake of man. And the world was only completed after man was created and, so to speak, separated from the ground. Man comes from the ground. Man was shaped and formed out of the ground. And look, a little menshi came out of the ground. So the ground, which is full of this mass, right? And God shaped and kneaded and formed until this man came out. And now the world was complete. So that's the same idea, that challah. The challah is not complete until you take out a little bit of that bread. Really, bread isn't called challah. Bread is called bread, lechem. Why is it called challah? Because of the mitzvah of challah. That piece you take off, that's really the challah. It's really a misnomer. When you go to Sobeys, you're not buying challah. You're buying that which was remains from the challah that was taken off. It was burnt in the oven. But listen, that's the way everyone's called it for generations. We're not going to argue with this. Because the bread became edible because of the mitzvah challah. Right? So that's the same things on every Erev Shabbos. Right? So we know it was Erev Shabbos where Chava was involved in helping Adam make his first sin, which brought mortality to the world. Therefore, women make a tikkun for Chava's failing by doing the mitzvah of separating chal on every Shabbos. So, sort of say, I'm gonna perfect the man this time. I'm gonna perfect the world this time. So that's a very big mitzvah. And the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim, bemoans the fact that women in his day did not take challah baking seriously. And he wrote this probably the turn of the century, 1900s. He says, unfortunately, today's times, many women are putting an end to this minhag and buying ready-made challahs in the bakery. In so doing, they weaken the idea of honoring the Shabbos. That's what they say, right? Again, of course you can go to Sobeys and buy it, right? But again, you bought it. But if you make it, and you think about that whole process of what making challah is all about and what you're trying to bring in through this process, you're shaping and forming and making things perfect and you're trying to make the whole home perfect, it's a different feeling. The Satmar Rav says, if women knew the tremendous reward that's in store for the challahs that they bake will covet Shabbos, he says, if women really knew the reward they were going to get from making challahs, he says, the bakery couldn't even sell one challah for Shabbos. If they knew it was all about, right? So there's unbelievable merit. Again, it's more you work in something, the more it impresses you. And as soon as those challahs come out of the oven, and they're ready to go, and again, if you can do this, again, if it's possible, not everyone, if you can't do it, you can't do it. There's customs and there's ways to enhance, but every Shabbos table, when the husband is tasting his wife's challah, and people taste a made challah that was coming out of the oven at like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, there's a whole different aura to the Shabbos table than a mundane store-bought challah that you can get from Sobeys, although it will taste maybe just as good. But there's a different feeling that comes out of it. Yeah?
What if you're making the challahs before Thursday? What color challah?
Again, you can if you can't do it earlier. Again, if it's not possible, everything has to be done within reason.
It's still better than buying it.
It's for sure better than buying it. But if you're going to make it on Monday and freeze it and put it in the freezer, I mean, it's hard to tell that you're doing it for the honor of Shabbos, and you can only carry that momentum so far. Theoretically, you prepare the whole Shabbos on Monday, put it in the freezer, and defrost it on Friday. You're going to miss the whole point. The whole point is Erev Shabbos has to be totally focusing you on Shabbos. Or as close to Erev Shabbos as possible. So if you need to come into Thursday, okay, come into Thursday. Right? But in other words, you're trying to... The point is everything else in the world you don't do on Friday. There's only one thing you do on Friday. Get ready for Shabbos. That's it. If you would arrange your calendar such that the dentist appointment is on Wednesday and taking the car to get the lube is on Thursday, and you clear the calendar, and from Thursday night till Shabbos, there's only one thing you're doing, getting ready for Shabbos. Okay? The problem is there's so many other things we have to do. That's what gets them. But that's it. That's the only thing. Again, we can't legislate every detail because there's pragmatics, there's practicalities. But any seasoned housewife, once she's who knows what she's doing. We're not talking about a first year married Kala that she takes her 5 hours to make one thing. Everything we're talking about a seasoned housewife. She's got a few years under her belt, under her apron strings, and she knows how to cook. Bing, bing, bang, and they're doing. They got. I see my wife again. She's got four or five things running at the same time. She needs the challah, and then while it's rising, she's working on a kugel, and then she's got the chicken sitting in the sauce, and then from one thing to the next thing, and she's telling the clean lady to clean this dish and that, and they're working together, and you make it happen. It doesn't take the whole day, right? So, but that only happens when the focus is this one thing only. And we'll see the rabbis say, you gotta get up early. You gotta get up early Friday. You don't get up at 8 o'clock on Friday. You get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Get up early. This is the tough gig. This is what it's all about. You know, it's Shabbos is coming today. So I get up early. I go to bed early Thursday night, whatever. Get up, I don't know, I go to bed at 10 o'clock Thursday. That's real early, right? And you get up at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning. Now you got a good 7-8 hours to get cracking, get it done by noontime. It's a great time. Just try to prepare for Shabbos at 4 or 5 in the morning. No one bothers you. No calls, no disturbances. This is the real Eishes Chayil that King Solomon talks about. She gets up in the middle of the night, she prepares the food for the family. This is what it's all about. Now, don't worry, there's paybacks for this. We'll see. This is not, and I'm still not forgetting your question, Susan, how are you not going to collapse before Shabbos? I'm not forgetting that. But the point I'm trying to stress, and you can't stress it enough, and especially for the housewives, there's only one thing a housewife, and again, I'm not talking about a family, they don't have the money, and the husband has to work, and the wife has to work, and they barely have enough money to pay the mortgage, and if they don't, I'm not talking about that scenario. There's pragmatics that we have to deal with in life. But that's going to limit the enjoyment of Friday night. There's no question about it. And if one can arrange their lives, and that's what you'll see towards the end of the second sheet, I believe right at the back, bottom part of the second sheet, where it talks about beginning your efforts, that last part, I'll read this now because it's important. From all the laws and customs, we learn, so it's the bottom of the second sheet. Right, bold, right? From all the laws and customs we learned so far, if it is at all possible, optimal for a woman to not go to work at all on Fridays, and for a man not to work after halachic midday, thereby leaving sufficient time to prepare for and be prepared for the Shabbos properly. This is the key element for a fantastic Friday night experience. Without question, that is so more key than anything else. More key than anything else. Because your mind is totally into Shabbos. You imagine, you're baking the challahs, and you're saying, I'm baking a little covered Shabbos, and you think about some of the deeper meanings of baking the challah. And I'm looking to make the finest fish, and the finest this. And while the food's in the oven, we're trying to clean up and make the beds. Okay, this doesn't have to be spring cleaning over here, okay? They have to wax the floors, I mean, everything within reason. But you're spending the day on one thing only. I'm preparing for Shabbos. That's it. Preparing for the wedding. The queen is coming. The king is coming. I want them to see how much I care about what's going on over here. Then you're totally hooked into that. Okay? And that makes a big difference. As opposed to doing a million and one other things and not focusing on the Shabbos for most of the day. Okay? Now, let's continue back to the point we were at, back on the first page. And as you'll see, this will become clearer as we go through. So now, once the challahs come out of the oven, the custom is to put on the table as soon as possible to show it's in honor of the Shabbos. It goes right on the Shabbos table. Point five, it's best to do your shopping during the week as close to Shabbos as is practical and possible. Okay? In the olden days, they can go shopping on Friday. Today, it might not be practical, might not be possible. You could be waiting 3 hours in line at Sobeys, and you're going to be wasting so many hours, you're not going to be getting ready on time. Right? That's something I'm going to deal with. So, therefore, there's a general rule of thumb that they give us. And the problem is, if I buy on Tuesday or Wednesday, you can't tell it's necessarily for Shabbos. If you buy on Friday, you know it's for Shabbos, right? But it might not always be practical. So they say the ingredients that can be prepared quickly should be bought on Friday. You should tokenly buy something on Friday. You don't have to go when it's the biggest crowds at Sobeys. You don't have to go to Sobeys. You buy, let's say, the hummus dip, right? So if there's, you know, there's going to be lots of hummus dip. So you go to Sobeys, get three or four chumas, and tell your husband to go buy three or four chumas dips on the way home. Buy something for Shabbos that you're going to eat on Shabbos. Buy it on Friday. But of course, if you're going to wait to buy the chicken and the set, they could run out. You may not have anything, right? But ingredients that take a long time to prepare, or you might not be, may not be available, then okay, you buy it on Thursday. And if it's not possible on Thursday, buy it earlier. The idea, again, we always like that this, there's a good idea, but it can sometimes be carried too far. The idea is be well prepared in advance. That's not a Shabbos idea. You prepare for Shabbos, but not that much in advance. In other words, as close to Shabbos, again, do it in a practical way. Don't do it unpractical. Leave everything for 2 hours for Shabbos, you don't get it done. But the more I can leave everything, the more I can get everything else done, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and into Thursday, and that the only thing I'm doing from whatever Thursday is just Shabbos. You see, it's the psychological transfer. The rabbis say the first 3 days of the week are connected to the last week. And the last 3 days are connected to the new week. Mean to say, and that's why on Wednesday, Psalm of the Day, we end off with some of the verses of Kabbalah Shabbos. By Wednesday morning already, we're ready into the next Shabbos mode. So we're trying to finish up whatever mundane tasks that the week is carrying for us to the point that as close as I can get to Shabbos, all I'm doing is Shabbos. So from Thursday, Friday are 2 days totally dedicated for Shabbos needs. And then you decide what makes more sense to do what on Thursday, to do what on Friday. Okay. I think that's a very important concept. I hope I make it really clear, because a lot of us, you know, we do a little of this and a little of non-Shabbos, a little yes Shabbos on Tuesday and Wednesday. It's spreading it out and it dilutes the excitement for Shabbos. If you can put all the preparations into, and that's all you're doing, Thursday, Friday, it's non-stop. If it's possible, again, for some housewives it's possible, if you can do that, that makes a big difference. That's what we're saying. Yeah?
There's frozen challahs you can buy as well. It takes 5 hours to rise, and then in the oven, et cetera, you baste it or whatever if you want. If you pull it out, let's say, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, put it on the table, ready to go, but you'd like it warm for Friday night itself. Is there a problem putting it back in the oven before?
I mean, you can. I mean, the best thing is to take it out of the oven a half hour before Shabbos.
That part I understand.
No, you could have the dough rise and you say, okay, you know the challahs need whatever, 35 minutes in the oven. Candle lighting is, let's say, 5 o'clock, right? You put the challahs in at 4 o'clock, right? They come out at 4:35. They're warm for a good long while. Warm for a good long while. And that's, this idea of having these hot, steaming challahs, the rabbis anymore don't seem to indicate any significance.
No, because there's been times that I've seen that where I have seen a hot steaming challah.
Yeah, it's not necessary. Okay. It's not an extra mitzvah for Shabbos. It's just an extra physical sensation people are trying to get, which is not honoring the Shabbos as much as one's own stomach.
Yeah.
So the rabbis are not requiring us to do that. And I don't even think that that's a special mitzvah at all. Okay, now, number 6, one should not spare expense when making purchases for Shabbos. One should make sure to serve fish, meat, wine, or other sweet beverages that he does not drink during the week at each of the Shabbos meals. The Talmud tells us that all the money that you're destined to make a whole year long has been decided on Rosh Hashanah. So it really doesn't matter how much more effort you're going to make than normal effort, you're not going to make any more money. There's only 2 exceptions to that rule. The exceptions are, and if you invest more in this, Hashem has to give you more. One is the expenses for Shabbos and Yom Tov. Spend more money, but remember, it's for the honor of Shabbos, not for the honor of your stomach. It's a very important difference. It's not like, okay, I want to be a pig, but I won't be a pig. I'll wait till Shabbos to be a pig. That's not going to work. You're buying it in the honor of the Shabbos. That's why the table should look so beautiful, and it's really for that. God will pay you back every cent that you're missing. That and Jewish education for your children. No matter what you spend, you're going to get it back. So that's number 1.
Sweet beverages, that means sweet wine only?
In other words, food, the special drinks, and you could define that however it works for you. Everybody's different.
Yeah.
But whatever you consider a sweet beverage, whatever it is. Like, for example, in some houses, they don't serve soda whole week. On Shabbos, they'll serve soda, because that is the special beverage. Frankly, I think that's the worst thing you could do health-wise, but if they want. But others will say, no, we'll serve a juice, a nice, tasty juice from that they make in Israel, whatever. But, you know, during the week, it's water. During the week, it's water. First of all, it's healthier anyway. So Shabbos, you don't drink wine during the week, okay? But on Shabbos, you're drinking wine. During the week, you know, you serve lower class cuts of meat, whatever. And on Shabbos, you're serving the best cuts of meat. It always the best for Shabbos because it's the wedding. That's making it special. Now, that's addressing our physical bodies as well. Our physical bodies have to sense there's a special day going on to be in tune with our spiritual essence that knows there's a special day going on. And obviously, when you see special food on the table, you can tell there's something very good happening over here. Now, those who are afraid, and therefore, I never think twice about the expenses for Shabbos. You never think twice about it. You buy the best. You buy the best. Again, obviously within your means. I mean, you're not going to buy a, you know, fresh caviar flown in on Concorde plane at $10,000 a little jar. But, you know, you go to Sobeys and there's a nice roast to buy it. That's a, it's $75, this big roast, whatever. So what are we worried about? Just buy it. You know, because in honor of the Shabbos. You buy enough that everybody gets one piece of roast, not eight pieces of roast. Again, to honor the Shabbos, you only need to eat one piece of roast, not five. So you buy a nice roast, you buy expensive wine, buy some good single malt scotch between the fish and the meat. Because of honor of the Shabbos, you'll get paid back abundantly for this. They give a parable to a wagon driver who has these horses trying to plot up a hill. And the wagon is loaded with all kinds of heavy merchandise. And it's really hot. And the wagon just isn't making much headway. So the guy's wondering, so what is he going to do? So he's got to obviously lighten the load. So what's he going to do? So he starts looking at the packages. He says, should I get rid of this bundle? Oh, no, it's such an expensive thing. I'm going to lose so much money. How about this bundle? Oh, it's too expensive. It's not going to work. He says, I found a perfect solution. He gets off, goes off of the wagon. He starts, gets his screwdriver. He takes off one of the wheels. So what a brilliant idea. One of the wheels weighs hundreds of pounds. I get rid of one of the wheels. I've lightened the load so much, it'll be a lot easier to go up. But someone passing by says, what a fool you are. The wagon barely went with four wheels. Now you're giving it three wheels. How's it going to go at all? So the same thing when a person wants to save money by skimping on his expenses on Shabbos. What do we tell the person? He says, you know, how do you expect to pull the heavy load of life, which only moves forward in the merit of your mitzvahs, right? Don't you realize that the mitzvahs are the wheels of the wagon of life that make things happen? If you're going to give less tzedakah, give less money in preparing for Shabbos, you know, it's like taking off the third wheel off of the wagon. So the money you put into Shabbos keeps the wheels going, and the money has to come back. That's Hashem's problem. I always have to say, if you follow the halacha, you turn around and say, how are you going to make it? That's Hashem's problem. I budget a little bit too much for food because of Shabbos. You say, Hashem, that's your problem. You've got to give me the money for it. That's all. Okay. Now, here's point seven. It's preferable to get up early on Friday morning to make preparations for the Shabbos meals. A real proper family gets up very early on Friday morning. Very early on Friday morning. If you can't, again, logistically, then you have to try an earlier time. It's also a mitzvah to sample each dish that's being made for just a sample, just a little taste. You don't have to have a whole meal, just a little taste to make sure that it tastes good. You got to make sure. I'm sure if you're at an important wedding, you're going to make sure the caterer, you're going to bug the caterer 10 times over to make sure the food's good. So you're buggering yourself and saying, you know, I got to make sure the food tastes very good. Now there's some great Hasidic rabbis who would only taste one dish, and I figured if one dish was good, then all the others were good. But clearly that there's a mitzvah to do that. Now, just to make sure you have a good appetite for Shabbos and you're ready for it, so 2.5 halachic hours before Shabbos, one should refrain from eating regular meals. So I don't have the exact timing here.
Sunset today is 5:02, so
I
say 5 o'clock.
No, let's say sunset will be 5 o'clock this week, and halachic hour is about 50 minutes now. I'm just guessing. So let's say about 3:20, 3 o'clock, a little less than 3 o'clock, maybe 3 o'clock, let's say, just for the argument. From 3 o'clock on, shouldn't have any big meals. Why? Because you have to make sure there's room to eat the food that Shabbos has over there. And a snack, a little snack you could have. But for example, what you shouldn't do is, let's say in the summertime when Shabbos comes in late, no matter how you do it, even if you bring it in early, it comes in late. And Shabbos starts 8 o'clock and you're hungry, so you figure, you know, it's late, I'm gonna have a good meal at 5 o'clock. I know people do this, it's totally wrong. They have to have supper at 6. Not supper, you know, supper at 6. They don't wash, supper at 6. Go to shul at 7, come back at 8, and make a mitzvah and a little piece of fish and call it a night. It's totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. You're supposed, now, to wait till 8 o'clock, that's asking a lot. And I guess halach midday around then would be, let's say, 4:30. Let's say, I don't know, 4:35. So you can eat something till 4:35, but you don't eat supper, obviously, because you're waiting for Shabbos. Have a good appetite for Shabbos. Okay. Now, wearing Shabbos clothing. One should wash and launder your clothes on Thursday and not wait till Friday. So there'd be enough time to prepare the Shabbos meal. So they're giving you strategies here. So if you got laundry day, right? So make laundry day Thursday, let's say. Okay? And if you do that on Thursday, the clothes are ready for Friday. Okay, you can pick up stuff from the cleaners on Thursday. See, the main thing is, you see what's happening here? They want to keep you in the house on Friday. That is, stay in the house on Friday. Thursday, you go do the shopping that you need to do, do the cleaning, pick up the laundry. Thursday, we're coming to get close to Shabbos. So things that are out of the house, we'll do on Thursday to leave room for the cooking, which is the primary thing to be done for Shabbos. Now, immediately after you bathe for Shabbos, you should get dressed in your special Shabbos clothes as you respectfully await the arrival of the Shabbos. We know, for example, a person's identified by the clothes he wears. Right? A poor person goes in rags. A rich man has a fashionable designer suit. A policeman wears a uniform. A repairman wears overalls. Some people wear Hasidic garments. You know, you can tell a person's background by the clothes he wears. On Shabbos, when the soul is elevated through the extra neshama that you have to wear clothes that reflect the loftier status of the human being on this day. You're higher than an angel on Shabbos. You're higher than an angel on Shabbos. You have to wear clothes that reflect that reality. And certainly, and as soon as you've taken your bath, those clothes should be going on. And especially women as well have to follow this custom. And when they're lighting Shabbos candles, which is the first mitzvah of Shabbos, it's such a holy, special moment. Woman lighting candles on Shabbos is more special than her going to shul the next day. It's a much more special moment for many reasons that we'll talk about later. That moment of lighting the Shabbos candles, which brings Shabbos into the house. There's so much kiddush in there. And it's a much more special time than her going to shul the next day. So obviously, what woman doesn't get dressed up for shul? But the point, she has to get dressed up for lighting candles. And it's not that she just has her robe on when she's lighting the candles. This is a very important moment. See, people might go say, well, I'm not going out. Why do I have to get dressed up? It's the wedding. The wedding is happening in your house. The wedding ball is your house. Just because it's not 250 guests doesn't minimize how special the occasion is. The Almighty Himself and the Shabbos Kodesh is coming into your house today. And if it was just you and your husband, and that's just the two of you, it's a very intimate affair. But it's still the wedding, and you are dressed up as much as possible. So you have to even wear dressy shoes, shouldn't wear slippers even. Mamish, it's like, now I know sometimes shoes aren't fancy, not so comfortable, don't wear it the whole time. But when you're lighting Shabbos candles, you pretend like it's more dressed up than when you're in shul in front of everybody else. Why you get dressed up in shul? Why? And the same thing for men. It's the same thing for men and women. I'm not knocking the women here. Because a lot of guys, they come Friday night to shul dressed in a regular shirt and, you know, like casual. It's not right. You know, so why do you get dressed up in shul? Ladies get dressed up because I'm going to meet a lot of people. Here you're meeting the Almighty. You're meeting the Almighty. You're lighting the candles. You're bringing in the Shabbos. So, again, if at all possible, a woman should be dressed with everything. The best clothes, like the wedding, is dressed to light the candles. Believe me, if you'd be dressed up like that, you'd feel the candle lighting is more special. The external things, the impact. When you get dressed up, you know it's a special occasion. And you know, these are the clothes I wear when I light Shabbos candles. It's the most fancy clothes, right? Now you have to also examine your clothes and make sure there isn't anything in them, because if you live in a city without an Erev, that you don't chason carry, okay? And you should put those Shabbos clothes on shortly before Shabbos, and don't leave the nice clothes for Shabbos morning. Don't leave the nice clothes Shabbos morning. The nice clothes come Friday night. Okay, good questions? Fine, let's go on. Final Shabbos preparations. Okay? Final Shabbos preparations. Now, just like you're rewarded for making all the preparations for Shabbos, you also are rewarded to make sure that you finish them on time. Okay? You've got to finish them on time, meaning to say that when a candlelighting is what? This week, 4:35, whatever it is, that everything is ready at 4:35. That's equally as important, you get the job done on time. Also now because of that, there is a pressure. Obvious pressure. I gotta get ready by 4:30. Now what generally happens when there are deadlines and stresses and pressures and husbands and wives together? What usually happens?
Arguments.
Fighting. Arguments. Tempers. It's almost Shabbos. What are you? And then the kid's like goofing off. And you said, told the kid, go clean up the Lego. You told a different kid to set the table. Meanwhile, you're rushing to get the challah out of the oven. You were a little bit late. They're getting a little bit burnt. And you're a little flustered. And then you notice running there, you notice the kid's still playing with the Lego, hasn't put it away. And the other kid is talking to her girlfriend that hasn't set the table. That's a prime moment to get angry and start screaming and yelling at people. Right? Or the husband forgot to bring something that you told him to bring. You know, all these, you know, so very important. The Yetzirah tries extra hard. There's a spiritual rule. The greater the spiritual opportunity, the greater the opposition for you to accomplish the goal. And the Yetzirah knows, Shabbos is everything. Is mamish everything. And if you come into Shabbos calm and relaxed and happy and with simcha, the Yetzer Hara knows you're going to have an amazing Shabbos, and the week's going to be amazing. So he's going to do what he can to frazzle you and to make sure there's a real good fight happening in your home as Shabbos is approaching. And you have to be cognizant of the fact, knowing that I remember when I was young, I had to take a driver's ed course, right? So they make you see these movies, right? They don't teach anything, they just show you these movies, right? So there's one movie called The Final Factor, where they show you a bunch of causes that one cause by itself wouldn't cause an accident. But when you got three or four put together, and then the one that breaks the camel's back, they call it the final factor. And that causes the accident. So you can have on Shabbos, you get a few stressors, right? The food didn't come out so good this time, right? And the husband forgot to get the flowers. And this kid was aggravating you. And then one next thing happens. Whatever it is, the final factor comes, and that's when you're ready to explode. Most explosions happen on Erev Shabbos. Most on Erev Shabbos. So if you know that, you gotta be extra careful not to trigger any arguments. You know your spouse is gonna do the thing that drives you nuts on Friday afternoon. Guaranteed. The kid will do the thing that drives you nuts on Friday afternoon. Why? Why is God orchestrating that way? Because that's the critical moment. So you gotta be very careful not to trigger any fights in the last minutes. And instead, the opposite, you try to smooth things over and make peace. Your goal is, I want to make peace with people on Erev Shabbos. Now it is customary, not for your wife, believe it or not, I don't want to say this, but it's not for your wife, but for Shabbos to buy flowers. You know, you might tell your wife it's for her, but it could be, but really it's in honor of the Shabbos. Nothing wrong to get flowers for your wife too. But the flowers are really in honor of the Shabbos. And just as flowers are ready to give pleasure on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so are we ready to be redeemed every moment from Hashem. And it's really the covet Shabbos more so than the covet for our wife. It's also, in the olden days, it was a custom to sharpen your knives on Friday to make sure you can cut the challah properly. Because if you don't cut, you have to make sure you go to some homes that the knives aren't so sharp. What happens, you get a lot of crumbs when you cut the challah. It's very interesting. The Gemara says that a person who neglects crumbs, crumbs, you kind of just let them go on the floor, and it's still food. And the rabbis say if a person neglects crumbs, the punishment is he can become poor. Now on Shabbos, the whole blessing comes into the week. We don't want people to do things that are counterproductive and have all kinds of crumbs. So therefore, you make sure to sharpen the knives so the knives are really well when required. When required. Now, also, the custom is to spread a white tablecloth over, and bedafka white, not a fancy, expensive blue tablecloth, but bedafka white. Okay, these are customs in every table in the house. Not just the dining room table, but the small little kitchen table that you're not even eating the meals at should be white. For a number of reasons. The primary one is we know our table is comparable to the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, which brings atonement. And in the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur, there was an animal which we tied a red string to it, and it was thrown off a cliff. It was one of the sacrifices, and it would miraculously turn white to show we're forgiven. So we have the white tablecloth to remember that hopefully the tshuva that we're doing on Friday, we're going to talk about in a minute, that we will be, our sins will turn to white, so to speak, through this, and the white tablecloth is symbolic of that. You also should set the table on Friday. Before Shabbos, the table should be set, if possible. On Erev Shabbos, you should tidy the house, the lights should be on, the bed should be made, everything should be proper. It's a mitzvah also to cut your nails every Friday, not on Thursday. The rabbis say, because if you cut them on Thursday, they start growing on Shabbos, which is not respectful for the Shabbos. You should cut the nails on Friday. By the way, nails are not supposed to be cut in a straight order, Kabbalistically. They're supposed to be cut in an inverted order. Starting, for example, with this finger, the fourth finger, then the second finger, then back to the pinky, and the third and the fifth. There's some Kabbalistic reasons why we do that, not to cut them in order. And then when you get the nails, don't just throw them around in the room, but they have to be discarded in a way that nobody runs into them. And then afterwards, you have to wash your hands once after you cut your nails. It's a mitzvah to get a haircut on Erev Shabbos, or a shave as needed. It's customary for men to go to the mikvah after halachic midday, and preferably the closer to Shabbos the better. So the men have to do things to get them focused on Shabbos. And again, obviously water is a symbol of purity. You know, you go a couple of times, different customs from 2 to 14 times, sometimes the dip. But the general idea is, just like when you go in and water comes, it washes away dirt. The idea is you're trying to symbolically wash away the averus, and then water can also refresh. So the second time you dip, it's more of a refreshing thing to bring in all kinds of cleanliness to the person. And it's a chashuv thing, if you can do it, to go to the mikvah. The Lubavitch Mikvah at 770 is open every year of Shabbos in the late afternoon, if you want to go. Okay, besides mikvah, it's a mitzvah for both men and women to take a warm bath or a shower on Erev Shabbos. So this is where the payback comes, ladies. If you've done your job well, and you got up at 5 in the morning, and you're really on top of the ball, on top of things, by about 1 o'clock, it should be done. It should be done by 1 o'clock. 12 o'clock, won't get done. Now, you can take a bubble bath. Take a bubble bath and sit in the tub for half an hour. Relax. Play some relaxation music. No, I'm serious. I'm not joking. This is part of preparing for Shabbos. You're tired. You're right. You're tired. You worked hard. You feel you put in a big day for Shabbos. And the husband who comes back early from work, he should do the same thing. If you have a sauna in the house, go into the sauna for a while, because you've earned it. You've worked hard enough, and when you have in mind, you're doing it to fulfill the mitzvah that the rabbi said. You take a bath in honor of the Shabbos, in honor of the Shabbos. Now you've taken that nice. Now you feel a little better now, Susan. You took that nice, comfortable bath, right? You finish by 12, 1 o'clock, and it's done. Take a nice, long, hot bubble bath. And face all the other things that you put in, all the moisturizer, face whatever you do. I don't know, or the guy goes in his sauna, has a beer, and relaxes in the sauna, whatever it is. I mean, you know, Baruch Hashem, right? And then the best part. Now, the rabbis say you should take a nap Friday afternoon. Because you worked hard. And you are tired. And we don't want you to be tired for the Friday night meal. And the rabbis bring down, the Sanzerov says, on Friday you should sleep for 2 hours. And you look, it's very interesting, the Hasidic Forum write a lot about this. And they say, you know, we see the rabbis go to the minutest detail to prepare for the Shabbos. So he's saying, surely, it's the details are not for they're not the most essential. Sharpening a knife is not the most essential thing for the enjoyment of Shabbos, but it's still there. So that being the case, they say take a nap on Friday to ensure that one is rested for the Friday night meal. Certainly is a very important preparation for Shabbos, which should be part of preparing for Shabbos. And the Mezritcher Magid, he asks, he wonders why taking a nap is not mentioned in the Ten Commandments. That's how important it is. And many of them say this. They say this. It's important to get a 2-hour nap. Now, look at it this way. You got up at 5 in the morning. Right? You've been working hard till noon. You put in a full day. Now you take a nice bubble bath. Nice music. You get into bed and get a good shluf for 2 hours. Right? And then you get dressed in your Shabbos clothes and you're ready for Shabbos. You're a different person. It's all part of it. When the rabbi, what happened? Why did the Jews sleep the night of Shavuos night? So one of the rabbis says the following: from 4 days before the events of Sinai, Jews were so busy they didn't get very much sleep at all. They really were exhausted. He said, "We got to get the Torah first thing in the next morning. We're exhausted. We're not going to. We have to get a good night's sleep before we get the Torah, and to have a clear mind to receive the Torah." So they went to sleep. Similarly, we know, and when was the Torah given, by the way? Saturday morning, Shabbos, right? Similarly, take a nap on Friday afternoon to be rested for Friday night, where we can receive the Shabbos in the correct frame of mind as well. So if we do that, you see, now you're ready for Shabbos. You see? It's a whole different person. You've worked hard, focused on only one thing, Shabbos. Now you also got that quote unquote recreation for the body, where you got to get that good bath and that shower. You have a whirlpool, you have that, get all stressed, the stress goes out. If you'd want to have a masseuse come for a half an hour and work you over, that would be a good thing to do. It would not be within the spirit of Shabbos. And then take a good shluf for 2 hours. That'd be amazing. They say, and if you can't do it, at least a little bit, at least lie down for a half hour, close your eyes a little bit. Because what you're doing at this point, when you're falling asleep, you're closing off the past, and when you wake up, it's like a fresh start. So when you wake up from that nap, it's like the week is over. At that point, the week is mamish finished. Everything's done. The mundane things are done. The Shabbos prayers are done. Now it's just a question, get up, get dressed, put the food in the oven, say your Tehillim, daven Mincha, whatever you have to do, and then get ready to light the Shabbos candles. That is the ideal way. If you would do that, guaranteed to be wide awake and excited about the Friday night experience that you're going to have, as opposed to those who it's like an afterthought. I stumble into Shabbos, right? So therefore, I bolded in 13. Make sure the details, right? Got to make sure all the food you plan to eat for dinner is in the stove, on the stove, in the oven before Shabbos. Any boxes, bags, containers, bottles that you're going to need to open, preferably should be opened before Shabbos. Light should be on. Timer switches should be on. The more lights you want off should be off, especially the refrigerator light is a big one. The alarm system, that ring-a-dings every time you open the door, has got to be shut off. All those things have to be done. Those for the last-minute preparations. And finally, the Baal Shem Tov says that as Shabbos arrives, a person should act as if he's no longer alive in this world. You don't live in Thornhill anymore. You're not. When you wake up from that sleep, it's that there's no worldly concerns. There's nothing on my mind except one thing: me, Hashem, and Shabbos, and my family. That's it. There's nothing. We're not going to talk about the news. We're not going to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about my job. Only one thing: Shabbos, Torah, mitzvahs, miros, the family. Now you're ready for Shabbos. But you see, it's easier when you spent the whole day just preparing for Shabbos. Because I've already began to divest myself. I cooked food for Shabbos. I cleaned the house for Shabbos. I did this for Shabbos. I got my clothes ready for Shabbos. Shabbos, 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 Shabbos. Right? So that's a lot easier to go into Shabbos that way. Okay, next section. I'm just trying to finish these first two pages. I think that's going to be a good stopping place. If I'm not mistaken, I'm just, I got there. Yeah, beginning Shabbos early. Okay. Now there's another halacha that it's praiseworthy for a person to add several minutes before sunset from the weekday to the Shabbos. In other words, if sunset is 5 o'clock, there's a mitzvah to add on more Shabbos before the Shabbos. Also a mitzvah to continue it on past the Shabbos. You want to add more. Again, this concept being, if Shabbos is a source of blessing for the week, why would you want to have the minimum amount of source of blessing for the week? You want the maximum amount of blessing for the week. As much as blessing you can put into the week, that's what you try to put into the week. So much more I could earlier start Shabbos, it's even better. If I could start Shabbos. So the halacha is at least a couple minutes before. At least a couple minutes before. We see the rabbis instituted on Friday afternoon that 2.5 halachic hours before sunset, they prohibited people working in their workshops, doing business. And I think they already weren't, this for the men at least. The assumption was that women weren't working at all. But the men who were working, they have to mamish stop working at least 2.5 hours before Shabbos. They have to stop working totally. Preferably by noon, but at least that. And what's critical, it also has to be done on Erev Shabbos, should spend time doing tshuva before Shabbos begins. Because what does a chassid and kala do on the day of their wedding? This is the wedding day. This is the wedding day. So what does a chassid do on his wedding day? You know, a marriage is one of the occasions where all your sins can be cleaned away. It's like a Yom Kippur. It's like a Yom Kippur. A wedding day is like a Yom Kippur. You fast, you do tshuva. Every Erev Shabbos, we're doing tshuva for the last 6 days. For any mistakes I made during the 6 days of the week, I'm doing tshuva. So part of that day, so let's say now like a real good day would be at noontime, all the food is ready, you've taken your bath, you've prepared your hygiene for about, I don't know, an hour, you've slept for 2 hours, it's 3 o'clock now, you get up, you get dressed, takes you 15, 20 minutes, and then you spend a half an hour doing tshuva. Doing tshuva, saying, you know, I'm going to think over the week. This thing I did really wasn't that good. I don't want to carry that into Shabbos. I got to do tshuva on that. And maybe I insulted somebody. You know, maybe I'm going to call somebody up before Shabbos. You know, I'm sorry I did that. I really feel bad. And you should focus a half hour or so to do tshuva. They say in certain cities in Europe, the whole shul, I forgot which rabbi in which city, it's just escaping me right now. But in one city, there was a rav who came. The shul was filled an hour before Shabbos, men, women, and kids, every week. And the Rav got up and gave him a tshuva drush every Friday. And people were crying and doing tshuva. That's a city that knew how to get ready for Shabbos. So you'd want to do whatever tshuva you can do, be ready for Shabbos. Because, you know, the letters Shabbos, Shin Beisaf, you can rearrange the letters in many ways. Take the letters, if you arrange it, Beis Shin Saf, same as the word Boshes, which is shame. And we try to be a little shameful for some of the actions we did. If we can have a little shame, you switch letters around again, it's Tav Shin Veis, Toshav. You return, you do tshuva. And when you do proper tshuva, then we can rearrange the letters again for Shabbos. Then you can have real Shabbos. Okay? And therefore, we'll just conclude now. But we got one more thing. In most cases, we should know if one spouse brings in the Shabbos, does not necessarily mean that other spouse has to bring in the Shabbos at the same time. For example, let's say in the summertime, a husband brings in Shabbos early, the wife doesn't have to bring it in when the husband brings it in, as long as she lights candles at the right time. Similarly, if the wife lights candles a little early, doesn't mean that the husband has to start keeping Shabbos. They're not connected one to another in most cases. It's an important rule to know. A lot of people think that when the husband goes out to go to shul, they make a couple of Shabbos at 7 o'clock, the wife has everything ready at 7 o'clock. That's not so. She has until the bare minimum of candlelighting. So with this, we'll close. All I wound up doing was 2 pages, and the rest we'll either make up at another time or we'll see. But this alone, besides everything else of how to celebrate Shabbos, Friday when it comes, is key. And if you can somehow get yourself as close to this mindset as possible, you already have all the preparations necessary to make the Friday night the best experience that you would like to have. Okay.